Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Brishus Rabbi Schreier, who joins us once again. It's a great kavod. Just a reminder, this evening Rabbi Asher Weiss will be here. I encourage everyone to attend. Rabbi Schreier, I think you'll enjoy it also. So I don't know if you've heard him before, but it's kedai. Mirtz Hashem, we should see you in good health. So there's one thing that I have noticed since I came to the shul, and that is there's a lot of confusion about Kaddish Durabanan. When do we say Kaddish Durabanan, when do we not? It seems that if the rabbi at the end of the shir or the end of the drasha doesn't say Kaddish, you know, doesn't scream it out, so then nobody does it. And then there becomes a whole discussion whether or not we should say Reb Chanani ben Akasha, we should not say it, maybe the Divrei Torah was good enough, we don't need the Reb Chanani ben Akasha. So I decided that maybe it's a good thing to look into and to speak about a little bit. So just by way of introduction, let's first look at the Mishnah, where all this comes from. The Mishnah is in Sota, in the end of Masechet Sota. The Mishnah is in Daf Mem Ches Amud Aleph. I don't think we'll get to the Halacha today, but maybe that will be tomorrow. That's really a hemshech of all this Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Mishabat L'Sanhedrin. There was a whole breakdown, basically, in the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah tells us what exactly broke down at which period in time. Mishabat L'Sanhedrin, once the Sanhedrin was dismantled, Batal Hashir Mi Beis HaMishtos. No longer did they have any music in the Beis HaMishtos, by a Simcha. So this is a big discussion. Shenemar B'Shiri Lo Yushtu Yain. This is a big discussion. The Achronim, are you only not allowed to have music when you have wine, or maybe it's even without wine, maybe you're not allowed to have music at all? It's a big discussion. We generally are mekel. We do have music b'sman hazeh. And whatever, you have to figure out exactly how to deal with that part of the Mishnah, that we are mevatel the shir b'beis hamishtos. Then it says, Misha meisu nevi'im harishonim. Once the nevi'im harishonim passed away, badlu urim v'tumim. There was no longer an urim v'tumim. Now the Gemara has a discussion there in the end of Masechet Sota. What exactly are we referring to when they say Nevi'im Harishonim passed away, that's when the Urim V'tumim stopped. Who are the Nevi'im Harishonim? So the one Mandarman in the Gemara says, Nevi'im Harishonim are David, Shmuel, and Shlomo. They were the ones in the time of the Beis HaMikdash Harishon, and then after the Bais Rishon was destroyed, the Nevi'im Harishonim were gone, and there was no longer any Urim V'tumim. And that's what you see. The Gemara Megillah seems to say that as well, that David and Shlomo are called part of the Memches Nevi'im that we know. So therefore, that's part of the Nevi'im Harishonim. However, it's not so clear. The other Mandam and the Gemara disagree and say, no, maybe that's not exactly who the Nevi'im Rishonim are. In fact, if you look in the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis there in Sota, the Rambam writes as follows. Kol Nevi'i Beis HaMikdash HaRishon. The Rambam gives you the rule. So everyone who lived in the Bayis Rishon was called Nevi'im HaRishonim. Av Nevi'im Bayis Sheni, but those Nevi'im that lived in the Bayis Sheni after the Churban Bayis Rishon, Haim, famously, they are famously Chagiz Chayim Malachi v'Chabrayim, their friends, the Chevra of Chagiz Chayim Malachi. So says the Rambam, you want to know the breakdown between Nevi'im HaRishonim and Nevi'im HaAchronim, anyone who lived in the Bayis Rishon was Nevi'im Rishonim, anyone who lived in the Bayis Sheni was Nevi'im HaAchronim. So that's what the Mishnah seems to be saying over here, that Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi did not make use of the Urim V'tumim, because they lived in the Bayis Sheni, they were not Nevi'im in the time of the Bayis Rishon. And therefore the Rambam writes in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, if you follow this through, the Rambam gives the klal. Nevi'im HaRishonim means those who lived in the Bayis Rishon. Nevi'im HaAchronim are the ones who live in the Bayis Sheni. So the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash writes, also b'Bayis Sheni Urim V'tumim. Yes, you'll say, what was the point of the Urim V'tumim if they didn't use it? So maybe in the Bayis Sheni they didn't make them. No, says the Rambam, they did make an Urim V'tumim even in the Bayis Sheni. Why? What's the point of making Urim V'tumim if no one knows how to use it? He says, no. Kidei lahashlim shmona begadim. How are you going to have a Kohen Gadol who's going to wear all the begadim, and he's going to be mechusar begadim? He's not going to wear one of the begadim, which is the choshim at the Urim V'tumim. So even though the Urim V'tumim were out of service and you weren't allowed to use them anymore in the Bayis Sheni, but still, says the Rambam, they still had to create an Urim V'tumim for the Bayis Sheni, because otherwise you would have a Kohen Gadol who is not considered a Kohen Gadol that's wearing shmona begadim. He would be considered pasul for wearing mechusar begadim. Says the Rambam, how come Taka in the second Beis HaMikdash, if they had the Urim V'tumim and they made them and they put them on the Kohen Gadol, why didn't they ask any questions of the Urim V'tumim? He says, because there was no longer any Ruach HaKodesh. Sounds like Chagiz Chayim Malachi, even though they were Nevi'im, they didn't have something which was more elevated than Nevuah, which was Ruach HaKodesh. I'm not sure exactly how you figure out what that means, but that's what the Rambam says. Any coin that does not have Ruach HaKodesh cannot ask questions of the Urim V'tumim. Now, the Meshech Chachma writes, just an interesting Vard on Chumash, he says, why is it, symbolically, why is it that the Urim V'tumim were Nisbatil once Shlomo HaMelech passed away? So you'll say, well, the level of the generation went down, and therefore they were no longer on that Madrega of having Ruach HaKodesh, so Mimela, everything fell apart, he can't use Urim V'tumim. Says the Meshech Chachma, it's more than that. Because think about it, what happened with the Urim V'tumim? When you ask the Meshaila, had the Urim V'tumim answer, he had the Yud Beis Shiftei Kavur written on the Choshen, and certain letters popped up. So he says, After the days of Shlomo HaMelech, the Malchus Yisrael split into two. He had half of Klal Yisrael was with Yeravam, half of Klal Yisrael was with Rechavam, and therefore everything split into two. So Klal Yisrael was no longer a 12 Shvatim. Klal Yisrael were no longer together. Zakhtim Meshech Chachman, the Urim Tumim couldn't work anymore. Because the whole way that the Urim Tumim answers questions is by having all the Yud Beis Shiftei Ka on the Choshen, and then the certain letters, the specific letters that are going to answer, that are going to address a specific question that's asked of the Urim Tumim, those are the ones that were lighting up. If you're not going to have 12 Shvatim living together in harmony and peace, being one under one Malchus Yisrael, then you no longer can use the Urim Tumim. So that's an interesting idea that the Meshech Chachma writes. What's important to note is that even though the Mishnah says that Batal Urim Vetumim and Batal Ruach HaKodesh once the Nevi'im HaRishonim passed away, the Rambam tells us clearly that once the Melech HaMashiach is going to come back, we will once again have a restored sense of Ruach HaKodesh. We're once again going to have the Urim Vetumim. Where do we know that from? The Pasuk says, V'nacha Lab Ruach HaShem, Ruach Chachma Bina, Ruach Das, Ruach Heitzu Gura, Ruach Das V'Yiras HaShem. This new person, the Melech HaMashiach, is going to have all the Chachmas, all the Das, all the Ruach HaKodesh, everything. In fact, the Rambam writes in Ilchas Tshuva, Osa HaMelech Sheyaman Mizera David, that Melech that's going to come in the end of time, and he's going to be the Melech HaMashiach, he's going to be Baal Chachma Yeh Yoser Mishlomo. He's going to be a greater Chacham than Shlomo HaMelech, who is the Chacham Mikol Adam. And not only that, but Navi Gadol Hu Karv L'Moshe Rabbeinu. He says that the Melech HaMashiach is going to be somebody special, somebody who's going to have Chachma greater than Shlomo HaMelech, and someone who's going to have Nevuah almost on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, obviously, this is just a temporary, a few thousand years is temporary, but still, it's only going to be a temporary putting out of service of the Urim V'Tumim, but once again, it will come back when the Melech HaMashiach appears. So we have this Mishnah that says when the Sanhedrin dismantled, so that's when they got rid of the Shir B'Beis HaMishdos. When the Nevi'im HaRishonim passed away, the Rambam tells us, that's the Nevi'im that were before Chag Yizchai Malachi, those who were alive in the times of the Bais Rishon. That's when the Urim V'Tumim were out of service. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Batal HaShamir, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so we have a creature, the Gemara says, of the Shamir. How were they going to cut stones? They didn't have instruments that knew how to do that. So it says they had this little Shamir that would, it was some sort of creature that would go into the stone, and it would chisel it out exactly the way they wanted it to be. So after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they no longer had the Shamir. V'nofas Sufim, they no longer had the very sweet taste of the plants, of the fruits, that they used to have in Eretz Yisrael. Upasku anshei amana. And they no longer had the upstanding, the righteous people that were around in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, B'Shim Gamliel, Omer, Hey, Rabbi Shua, Mi Yom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, Eim Yom She'eim Bo Klala. Every day is worse than the next. Each day is more klala, and the world is going to be terrible. Below Yerid, Hatal, Lebracha, and the Tal never comes down. Not that the Tal doesn't come down at all, but it doesn't come down, Lebracha. It doesn't come down the way we want it to. V'nital Tam HaPeiris. And now the taste of the fruits went away. And the Mishnah goes on to say that the taste and the smell of the fruits, everything went away. So the Maharal writes in his Pirush, Netzach Yisrael has a beautiful pshat in this Mishnah. And he says, HaMishnah Azoz Ba'al Avar Lecha. This Mishnah is coming to teach us the following. Kashar Nechrav Abayis. I thought it was an interesting thing to talk about now that we're in the 3 weeks and we're looking at this Mishnah anyway for a different reason, but Stam, the Maharal has a nice pshat. He says, Kasher Necher Avayis, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Shenimshach Acher Zech Chisaron Ba'olam Hazeh. You have to understand that not only did we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash that was going to serve as the makam of spirituality, but he says, no, the entire world became deficient physically because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. B'masha Beis HaMikdash Shleimus Techal Olam, because the Beis HaMikdash used to instill a certain sense of Shleimus into the world, and now that we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash, the entire world is considered deficient. Kashachar Beis HaMikdash, why is that? Because when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hayu HaTachtonim Nivdalim Min HaElyonim. The Beis HaMikdash, so to speak, was our way of connecting to the Olam HaElyon. It was the way of us connecting to what goes on in Shemayim. And once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we no longer had that direct connection to what goes on in Shemayim. Ki Ayidei Beis HaMikdash Shehu B'Tachtonim Yesh Lahem LeTachtonim Dveikus V'Chibar BeElyonim. Through the Beis HaMikdash, through that vehicle, we were able to have a connection to the Olam HaElyonim, and now we no longer have that. Lefika Chaisa Bracha, that's why the world was blessed. And then afterward, all of a sudden, when we lost it, Batal HaShamir, Batal Nefes Tzufim, that's when everything started to disintegrate, that's when the whole world fell apart. And then he goes on to say, so very nice, but why these three things specifically? When the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the Mishnah tells us, Batal HaShamir, the creature that used to cut out the stones. Number two, Batal Nefes Tzufim, the very sweet taste in the world were dismantled and no longer came down in Shefa. We no longer had that. And number three, Batlu Anshei Amana. Says the Maharal, why these three specifically? He says, Ki Ashamir Hayabakoach Ve'oz. The Shamir was something that was a very powerful creature. Imagine, you have a creature that's able to slice through a stone, and it's able to cut and chisel something out so beautifully. So that's the powerful nature of the world. The Gemara says in Gittin Daf Samaches that when you would put the Shamir onto a stone, it would be able to break it up into many different pieces. On the other hand, on the opposite spectrum, he says, that obviously we have the Nofas Sufim Shum Masut Petachlus Hamasikos. That is the sweet, that's the pleasantness of the world. Here you have the Shamir on the one hand, which is stiff, which is hard, which is strong, which is powerful. On the other hand, you have something which is soft, which is sweet and pleasant. So he says the physical world, all the Mishnah is coming to tell us is that the physical world was totally broken down. We no longer had either extreme. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, you have to understand that everything became watered down. We no longer had the sweetness of the Nofas Tzufim, everything became watered down, and we no longer had the powerful strength of a Shamir, which is not, so to speak, the Shamir or the Nofas Tzufim itself, but it really signifies everything that the world stood for. You have two extremes, and both extremes were no longer in existence after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And he says, not only was there a breakdown in the physical world, in the sweetness of the Peiros, and in the strength of certain individuals, but more so, he writes, there was a breakdown also, Pasku Anshei Amana, that we had a mentality change, we had an attitude shift, and we were no longer as upstanding as we should have been, we were no longer as straight as we should have been. Everything became totally falling apart after the Beis HaMikdash happened. What's interesting to notice from this Mishnah is that you see that there's a direct connection between the way our spiritual world finds itself and the way the physical world will manifest itself as well. What you see from the Mishnah is that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, you would think, well, spiritually we went down, but physically what's going to happen? No, says the Mishnah, you're mistaken. When everything happens in the spiritual world, the physical world is also manifests itself in a totally different way. In fact, I think maybe this is the pshat, Amma Avda Ha'aretz. It doesn't just mean, why was Eretz Yisrael destroyed? Amma Avda Ha'aretz, maybe it means more so. Why is it that the whole world became disintegrated? What was it that destroyed the entire world? It's not just that the Beis HaMikdash, that Eretz Yisrael was destroyed. Everything, the state of the world being in physical reality, also was totally disintegrated after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And perhaps that's another meaning of what it says, Alma Avda Ha'aretz. Why was the world itself, the physical reality, destroyed? You find this in many different places. In Pirkei Avos, we say that you have two people that are Yashu ve'emeneim divrei Torah hareiz and Moshev Leitzim. So the Mefarshim already point out, why is it a Moshev Leitzim? You should say, you are a bunch of Leitzanim. What's a Moshev Leitzim? So it says, no, it must be that this place over here is an Avir, which is a negative attitude. It must be that over here there was something there which made it into a Moshev Leitzim way before you got here. This must have been a bar, or must have been something in a previous time in history. And now that you're sitting there, you cannot have a positive influence because it's already had a negative experience which was mashpi on it. Again, you see this idea that things that we do in a spiritual way obviously will affect the Saviva, they will affect the physical surroundings that we are in as well. I mean, you find by Rivka, when she goes to the well, all of a sudden the water feels her Kedusha and it comes up toward her. You find by Yaakov Avinu, the stones. Somehow the stones can feel the Kedusha of Yaakov Avinu. How are they able to feel the Kedusha? What do you mean? Stones don't speak to people, they're inanimate objects. But still, you see that a person can make a Roshim on something which is physical as well, based on the spiritual state in which he finds himself or which the society finds himself at large. There is a Gemara in Baba Basra that says that somebody who's careful to give tzedakah, kalarod v'acharat tzedakah, the Rabbanu Shalom will pay him back, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamsi lo mos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay you back and give you physical money. He'll make sure to make you into an usher. So Reb Shimon writes, Reb Shimon Shkaf writes in the Hakdama to the Shari Osher, he says, well, you'll think it's just a schar, it's something, a nice thing. The Rabbanu Shalom likes the fact that you're giving tzedakah, so he says, oh, I'll pay you back, I'll give you money, because that's also a nice schar that you're going to get, matan schar b'tzida. Says Reb Shimon, no, it's more simple than that. You have a person who works in the treasury of the Melech, and he's a great servant, and he's wonderful, and he does everything carefully, and he's very honest. So all he's working right now is he's just pressing the button to print the dollar bills, right? Okay, no big deal. After he works well, and we see that he's very honest, we're going to promote him to have a higher job. And he keeps getting promoted, till he can end up being the Secretary of the Treasury. He can be the one who's in charge of the whole enterprise. Why is that? Because once we see that a person knows how to manage money, then we go up, once again, then we go up and we give them a promotion. So perhaps that's the same over here, says Reb Shimon. Somebody who's careful and shows the Ribbono Shel Olam that he treats the spiritual realm carefully, somebody who spends his money in a way that is supposed to be spent, the Ribbono Shel Olam will physically give you a promotion and make sure that he entrusts you more with his mitzvahs, with his money, and give you the opportunity to do more so. Now we're in the Shnas HaShemitah, and as we know, this is one of the greatest examples, like the Chassam Sefer writes, HaChumish, that Shemitah is one of the greatest examples where the Ribbono Shel Olam says, V'tzivisi es b'chasi, I will give you bracha, which means physical bracha. Normally, the land only produces a certain amount, but after Shemitah, you're going to have tremendous amounts of food, because the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you, in anticipation for Shemitah, he's going to give you enough food that you're going to be able to live, but more so, he's going to give you bracha afterward, while the field is trying to make itself back. We are told that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to pay us back. So the Sam Sofer says that Rashi writes over here, Mayin Shemitah Eitz Alar Sinai, by Parshas Behar. This is the only mitzvah where it says Behar Sinai Lemar. So Rashi says, because it's coming to tell you that Ma Elu Kol Protein B'Diktukein B'Sinai, so too everything else was given at Har Sinai. So Frektach Sam Sofer, why do you learn that B'Dapk over here? This is Mitzvah Shin Chafei, Mitzvah 325 is the mitzvah of keeping Shemitah properly. So why all of a sudden Rashi, Chazal come to tell us, but Dafka over here, after 325 mitzvahs, we have to learn the lesson, oh, just like this was given me Sinai, so too everything else was given me Sinai. Says the Chassam Sofer, no, it's coming to tell you that the Ribbono Shel Olam, Eini Hashem Elokecha, the Ribbono Shel Olam is paying attention to what we do, to how we keep the mitzvahs, and the same way, Vitzivisi Esperchasi, the same way the Ribbono Shel Olam will respond to our Shmiras HaMitzvahs positively, and that's what's going to give the physical world a sustenance, that's what's going to give the physical world a reality. And that's the way the physical world is going to manifest itself, totally mirroring the way we act as well. So too says the Chassam Sofer, that doesn't only apply to Shemitah, that applies as a general rule to all mitzvahs. When we act, when we do in accordance with what the mitzvahs are supposed to be kept, that's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam will react to us as well. So this is the beginning, this is the Hagdama, just of the Mishnah that we're going to discuss about making a Kaddish Drabbanan, what's this all about, where to come from. But the Mishnah first says that we know that the world was falling apart after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, as we said, no more Urim V'Tumim, no more Shamir, no more Nofes Sufim. And then the Gemara just goes, and this is what we'll pick up with tomorrow, the Gemara says, Amar Rava, if you're going to say that every single day is Klala, every single day is terrible, things keep getting worse, going down, spiral, so then how do you say, Ela Alma Amai Kamakayim? So what's the world standing on? A terrible world, everything's destroyed. What's the world actually standing on if we're in such a negative spiritual state? Says the Gemara, Kiddusha, the Sidra Vayehesh Mei Rabba De'Agadata, which is what we'll pick up with tomorrow, about why exactly the Kaddish is something that we try to say after we learn, and what's so special about Yehesh Mei Rabba and Kiddusha De Sidra. Guess we'll